So I want to start the message with a question. Will you be a neighbor? We talked last week about what it means to be a neighbor. We saw this story where this guy did some pretty amazing things for a stranger. Not just a stranger, but an enemy, really. A guy that he wouldn't normally associate with. And yet he loves him in a pretty impressive way. He treats him very well. He was being a neighbor. And so just to review a little bit of what we said last week, you know, Jesus was talking to a lawyer in this exchange. That's where the story of the Good Samaritan comes up. And the first thing we learn is you can't earn your way to eternal life, because that was really the beginning of the conversation. What does it take to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus says, well, you know, here's an example, and we learn from looking at this, okay, we can't just work at it and get it on our own. So that was the first lesson we picked up, last one. But then we also see that the question to Jesus was, who is my neighbor? But Jesus came back and said, no, there's a better question, how to be a neighbor. What a neighbor looks like, how a neighbor acts. And so we want to make sure we substitute the question, how, instead of who. And so we're thinking of what does it look like to be a neighbor instead of just, okay, who am I going to pick and choose how to treat a certain way? But always thinking with people around us, how should I treat them? What is the right way to act? And so we came up with a four-letter answer to this question, how should we act, based on what the Good Samaritan did with the guy in the ditch. And we said, look, if we can just care about people, it will make a huge difference. And so we need to have compassion. We need to be willing to allow the interruptions in our life and relate to them where they are, not where we want to or where we're comfortable, but where they are. And then we want to make sure that we empower the next steps for them, just like he left money, his own money, for the guy to be cared for. We have to invest in their future as well. So we have to care for these people. And so you're sitting there thinking, okay, I got it. How to be a neighbor. Cool. Got it. I know I need to care. All right, good. But is it just for people that are in the ditch, half dead, like that story, that I need to care? Or do I wait until I see that to care? Or who should I be caring for? And you see where we've ended up again, right? We've ended up right back where the lawyer was. Who is my neighbor? To whom should I act in this way? To whom should I extend this caring? Everybody I meet, just a few people, and so we have this question, who is my neighbor? Who am I supposed to treat this way? There's a guy in the United States that put together a book and a study about this idea, and so he has this whole thing called The Art of Neighboring. And his thing is pretty simple. He says, okay, Jesus said, you know, love God with everything that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. And so whenever you think about who your neighbor is, it could be that it's your actual neighbor. Imagine that, the person that lives close to you, the person that you are walking next to, all right? So not just the people that you find that are in trouble that we need to help, but the people that live around you. So he has this little diagram that I think is brilliant, right? It's simple, but it's brilliant. And he said this, okay, so you have your house, okay, in the U.S. you have these subdivisions, right? Houses just all over the place. He said, here's your house. So somebody lives across the street from you. What's their name? Okay? And you write it in that blank, that top one, okay? But that's their name, okay? And then somebody lives next door to you. What's their name? And then the other side and so on. So he says, learn the names of these people that live around you, because usually here's how it goes, and you can reflect this with me, right? Hey, buddy, how's it going? Right? Because you met when they first moved in. You met, hey, good to see you. My name is so-and-so. Yeah, good to see you. And then you walk away and you forgot their name. But you're not going to ask again because that would be really embarrassing, right? So it's, hey, buddy, how's it going? Hey, man. You know, all those little substitutes. You know how it is, right? We do this. And so we don't know their name. What if we just learn their name, right? And someone's like, whoa, they know my name. That's pretty impressive. So that's what he's pushing. Look, learn their names, begin to pray for them, and see where God takes it from there. And so for me, I'm thinking, okay, let's see if we can try that same concept. And so I'm thinking about that same concept with the building that I'm in, okay? Does anybody else have the same problem I do? So there's 17 floors in Verdant Court. We live on number 7, flat B. I know the guy in A. I've told you about meeting my neighbor below us. So I know 2 names. I know a couple on the first level. I met a guy yesterday who's also on our same level, so I got him now. So I've got 6 out of 136. I only have 130 to go in just my building. How do we do this in DB? How do we love and memorize all these names, right? Do you have the same problem I do? Like, you see somebody on the bus, and you see them pretty consistently, right? So they're on the same route as you, right? And then you see them somewhere else, like the grocery store or in the post office, and you're thinking, they must go to church with me. No, they don't go to church with you. They just ride the bus. And so I've come up to people like, hey, don't we? It's like, oh, no, I sound like one of those guys. It's like hitting on. I'm not hitting on you. I think we know each. Oh, this sounds terrible. I'm out of here, right? And then you see him again on the bus. You're like, okay, it was just that bus person. It's not. It's just hard, right? Because we see all these people and we learn people. And this is not something new. We all struggle with this. And so it's daunting when we think of, okay, how do we engage so many people that are around us all the time? We have this constant deal of, okay, names, learning the name. Okay, hi, good to meet you. My name is Danny. What's your name? Boom, okay. And then you know the problem with that, don't you? I think we've talked about this before. Okay, there's something that happens to our brains during this exchange. Have you heard this before? Do you know what the favorite word is for all of us? The favorite verbal sound in all the world, our favorite sound is what? Our name. Okay? And so whenever you say, hey, I'm Danny, of course you wouldn't say that. Whenever I say, I'm going to keep saying this. Whenever I say, hey, I'm Danny, there's this little explosion of pleasure and happiness in my brain, right? Hi, I'm Danny. Even though I said it, right? And so I can't hear for the next 5 seconds or something. So then they say, yes, my name. You're like, cool. And you walk away like, oh no, what's their name? Anybody else? You're with me on this, right? It's just true. So how do you fix this? Hi, I'm Danny. I'm Tom. Hi, Tom. Good to meet you, Tom. So cool to see you today, Tom. Say it as many times as you can in the next 10 seconds. They're going to think you're weird in that moment, but when you remember the next day, they'll be like, oh, he's cool. So our own names throw us off in this process. So we have this little game that we play. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so here's a picture for you. So a guy a few years ago, he actually quantified what's happening with this. Oh my goodness. I've got 5 minutes. Okay. You ready? We're going fast. And you know I can. Okay. He said, look, we can only handle so many relationships. There's a limit, actually. Our brains are wired to where we can only hang on to so many names at a time. And his number is 150. He said 150 is basically the max for our decent, real social interactions, okay? Now, yeah, you can have the 500 circle of people that, you know, you can remember how you met. 1,500 people that you can say, okay, I recognize them. I know that face and that name. But as far as real relationships, 150. Now, some of you are geniuses. That's why you live in Hong Kong and you're successful here. Your number is 200 instead of 150. But that's still not very much, right? We just can only handle so much. And so it's not a shock that we can't just know everybody. Okay, so where are we headed, Danny? So, well, look, let's don't kill ourselves trying to get to know everyone. I don't have to memorize everybody's name in my building. But the main point is what I do with the relationships that I have. How am I going to treat the people that I know? And I want to constantly be trying to pull new people in, but I have to know, hey, there's a limit to that. But the people I do know, let's make the most of it. And so to talk about that some more, I want to look at a story in Luke chapter 5. Hopefully you have a Bible. Please pull it out. Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at a story of some guys that treated their neighbor the way they should have. And so we can learn from their example and hopefully follow in their footsteps and see God do some amazing things. Luke chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verse 17. And so Jesus is at the beginning of his ministry, obviously Luke 5, one of the lower chapters. And so we're at the beginning of his ministry, and things are just getting going. He's called his disciples. He's doing some miracles, and he's teaching. And so that's where this story comes in. On chapter 5, verse 17, we'll start. It says this, on one of those days, he was teaching. Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. So this is a fun day, okay? So people are being healed. Good things are happening. Jesus is teaching. Jesus is in the house, and there's power in the house this day. Verse 18, and behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. Okay, so we've heard the story before. So for us, it's not really crazy to think about this story and what's happening. But imagine you haven't heard the story, and you're out on the street, and then this happens. Okay? People walking with a guy on a bed. Okay, that's kind of like one of those things. See the woman in the background in the picture? She's kind of like, ooh. What's going on? Now, some of you are okay with this. You don't mind going to IKEA and getting that huge box and wrestling it through the MTR, right? And then figuring out how to squeeze it into a cab, right? Some of you love that kind of stuff, but some of you are like mortified. You got a hat on and sunglasses. You don't want anybody to see you. Or you buy something from the Craigslist. I'm not sorry, Facebook page, right? The moving sale page. You buy that big thing. You're like, oh, no. I'm going to see everybody I know as I put this on the dollar trolley and try to get it home. You're like, oh, hey, good to see you too. Oh, good to see you too. Right? How embarrassing is that? That's nothing compared to this. What's happening? Okay? This guy is paralyzed and they're walking through the street. Hey, what's up? What's up? What are you going? Oh, we're just out for a walk. No, what? He's paralyzed. What are you doing? But they don't care. They don't care what people think. They say, you know what? Instead of caring what people think, we care for our friend. We care for our friend more than we care about what people think about us. So they said, we're going to try to get this guy to Jesus, verse 19, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd. So, hey, we got a good idea, right? They wake up in the morning. Hey, let's take him to Jesus. Jesus is going to be in town. He can heal people. Get the mat, get the thing. Hey, you got three other guys. Good, let's go. Put them on there, and we're going. All right, we're going to make it happen. They show up. The house is full, right? It's people all from Jerusalem, people from all over. People are coming to see Jesus, right? Oh, it didn't work. Oh, well. Maybe we'll try next week. Take him home, right? Is that what we would do? I remember whenever I was, before I was married, I was trying to, you know, be in shape. A friend of mine that I was living with, we got a membership at a gym, okay? And so we decided, hey, we're going to hold each other accountable. We're going to get up early in the morning. We're going to go to the gym, work out. So we were doing that. We hated it. Like this is before work, right? So we go in early, and neither one of us wanted to, but neither one of us was going to be the sissy that backed out. That's how accountability works, right? So we're in the car. We're going in there. We go to the gym. We do our workout. And so this one day, my friend got me. I mean, it was not nice what he did to me, right? So we're in the car. We're rolling into the parking lot, and I'm half awake, right? And he looks over at the gym, and he says, oh, hey, they're closed. On the inside, I'm like, yes, I get to go home and sleep a little bit more. And he was like, oh, no, they're open. Like, oh, I was so hoping that I could get out of it, right? And maybe those guys, as they were going down to the house, right? Oh, it's too full. I guess we tried. We had a good intention. Okay, let's just go home. That's not what happens. Let's keep reading in verse 19. Finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. Oh, goodness. Have any of you ever heard of this concept called change management? Yes? Anybody? Is change management pretty easy? No! Okay. Do you think these guys had heard about change management? I got an idea. I know it's busy, but let's do this. I got a plan. I got a strategy of what we can do. Let's go on the roof. Yeah, that's great. And let's tear their roof open. Yeah, this is getting good. And let's drop him down right in front of everybody so he can be in front of Jesus. That's a great plan. No way. Can you imagine the number of reasons, the list of things, the cons, the pros and cons, right? The pros are this, the cons, look at the cons. There's lots of cons. if it rains that night, those people's house is going to flood. But these guys did not care. Look at this faith. Look at this passion. So you know what? We don't care. We're getting our friend to Jesus. We care more about our friend than whatever kind of trouble we're going to cause and get ourselves into. Wow, I love it. Look what Jesus says in verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Now, we won't go through the rest of the passage. There's a whole lot more in there to unpack another day. But this is enough because we know what happens. He heals his spiritual need first, and then he comes back later and heals his physical need. Incredible. But what was it that started this chain reaction? Jesus looks at them. It says, when he saw their faith. It doesn't say when he saw his faith. Okay? So in front of Jesus, there's this guy on a cot who's paralyzed. And I'm confident that he had faith because Jesus doesn't force himself on anyone. So I'm confident that guy had faith. And so he's now in front of Jesus, and I believe he had faith. But Jesus didn't notice that just this guy had faith. He saw their faith, plural. So who all else is involved? The guys on the roof. The guys on the roof, the ones who broke it open, the ones who carried him down, who found the rope, who tied it all up, who let it down, who made a huge scene. Who knows how much they had to pay to fix those people's roof? I don't know. But he saw their faith, and the healing begins. What does it mean to be a neighbor? Well, let me just ask this question. Do you know anybody who's paralyzed? You see, these guys looked at their friend, and they knew that there was something more for him. You know what? This guy's not okay. And if we have a chance, we're going to do what we can. In fact, we know what the answer is. If we can just get him to Jesus, if we can just get him in front of Jesus, Jesus can take it from there. Amen? Do you believe that Jesus can handle our problems? Do you believe it? If we can just get people to Jesus, that will take care of it. If we can get, now, what happens between the two of them? That's between them and Jesus. But our duty as neighbors who love people is just get them to Jesus. Get them there. And it's going to be difficult sometimes. We're going to have to go out of our way. We may have people looking at us and pointing and laughing and thinking, that's weird. But we don't care. We care more about these people than we do about our own dignity, our own time, our own resources, whatever they may be. So we can help other people have freedom from whatever they're paralyzed by. And there's all kinds of things that people are paralyzed by, right? Maybe it's an addiction. There's some fear that's crippling, paralyzing them. Loss of identity. Maybe there's a hurt, some wound. Maybe there's this pursuit of a goal or a dream that has them totally disconnected from everything else, and so they're paralyzed by this pursuit, and they need us. And so will we be neighbors? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to get them to Jesus? You see, the greatest gift that we can give our friends is Jesus. The greatest gift. I don't know that anyone has ever come to know Jesus because they knew someone that was nice. See, even if I'm nice to everybody in Vernon Court, maybe even if I know everyone's name in Vernon Court, I can see them and say their name, but if I never get them to Jesus, I haven't given them the greatest gift. And so instead of just being nice, instead of just being cool people, let's take that next step. Let's do what may feel awkward. Let's help them get to Jesus. And I love what someone in our church recently was saying, hey, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so are coming to church tomorrow. I invited them. I was like, yes, yes. Just inviting people. Hey, come to church with me. I think you'll like it. It'll be fun, right? And maybe it will or it won't, but at least you've invited them and they can begin to have some exposure. Maybe you can prayer walk. So one thing that I'm thinking about, and we'll see if I get caught by the security or not, but just to prayer walk Verdant Court. You just start at the bottom or the top, depending on how much energy I have, right? Start at the bottom and walk through that floor. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Pray for all of them. Then go to floor 2. A, B, C, D. Just pray over all of them. Who's praying for those people? Well, the pastor of a church ought to, right? So I'm convicted by this. By the way, you think I'm preaching to you? I'm preaching to myself this morning, okay? Thank you for being here and listening to me beat myself up. But what if we prayer walked our buildings in Discovery Bay? Whenever Laura and I go out at night, you know, we've talked about this a long time. Whenever we go out at night especially, we see the lights in the buildings, right? Just all these high-rise apartment buildings, and we see there's a window with a light on, another one, and we know that behind that light or in the same room with that light, there's a man who's got stuff going on that he shouldn't be into. He's struggling. There's a woman and she's into stuff and she's hurt and she's deceived, and there's kids and there's friction and there's all these problems in each one of these, right? And who is helping these neighbors? Who's loving them? That's what we get to do. That's what we get to do. And so if we're going to be good neighbors, it's not just learning their names. It's not just helping them out. It's not just paying for their ride when they forget their octopus card. It's to figure out a way to help them get to Jesus. That's the greatest gift we can give them. So I come back to the question, will you be a neighbor? Yeah, we've got to learn names. Yeah, we've got to help people when they're really in trouble. We've got to be willing to give our own resources, go out of our way to help them. But to be a really good neighbor, we need to be like these guys that carry their friend and made a way for him to see Jesus. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Some of you are like the paralyzed guy, and this is your moment. You're in front of Jesus right now, and so you're already here. And so it's just a matter of allowing him to heal, allowing him to touch and to set you free. First, your sins, which is your greatest need. And so if you haven't trusted Jesus, I want to encourage you today. Receive the gift of forgiveness that Jesus died to purchase for you. Receive the gift. Put your trust in Jesus today. Others of you, you're a Christian, but man, there's some things that have just been knocking you down. And so I want to encourage you today. Let Jesus heal. Let him set you free. Just go to him and say, look, here I am. It's ugly, it's nasty, people around, but here I am. Here I am. And let him heal you. We'll have people down here on the right at the bottom that would love to pray with you after the service. And so whether you're asking questions or if you have a prayer request or maybe God has set you free and you want to say there's a praise you want to offer, please feel free to bring those down and let people pray with and over and for you. But maybe you're a Christian and things are going pretty well, but God has brought to mind, the Holy Spirit has reminded you of a person who's paralyzed this morning. And so you need to begin a prayer effort, and you need to begin a serious, intentional path of helping them know Jesus. Father, we thank you for this amazing story. These guys who loved their neighbor. They didn't care what people thought. They didn't care how much energy it took or what kind of trouble they may get in. They said, we're going to get them to Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that you'll give us a heart that's broken. As I read this morning, Lord, the fields are white for harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. May each of us see our role in your harvest. Thank you for what you will do as we just simply do what you have commanded and shown us. Just love. Just love. Help us, Holy Spirit. We need you. The enemy is going to lie to us. He's going to try to distract us. But as you speak to us, as we listen, you will supply all that's needed for the path you have for us. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.